Hello, welcome to Home From Here with John Burton. Today, we are going to play some songs from Loners, Misfits, and Rebels from my new EP. I am Carolyn Morosi on Home From Here with John Burton.
I'm going to use that. Now I don't want to talk. Maybe I won't. That's good.
Thank you.
Okay, this is John. This is Home From Here. And I'm not playing that guitar. You can tell because it's good. I am with Carolyn, and I'm going to screw
Hello.
Up your last name.
Morosi.
I would have gotten it right. Oh, that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. New to the show.
Yes, first time on the show.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here, John.
Oh, I'm happy you were. So you did the Lifted project.
I did. Oh, my gosh. And I'm so glad you brought that up because that was one of the first things I wanted to talk about. I mean, thank you so much for inviting me and then extending for my wife as well.
My pleasure.
It really meant a lot to me to be a part of because, in my opinion, music is what saved my life. And I can gather from this podcast and from your writing of that beautiful song that that's something that's important to you. And the song itself, to make a difference in the Hudson Valley, I mean, it's incredible to be a part of. But just the idea of putting that message out there. Mm. You know, to me, that's what it's all about. Like, music kind of either gives us the answers or helps us figure out the answers. And that song, Won't Be Broken, I mean, when I hear it, it's an empowering song. It's beautiful.
You were so much fun to work with that day.
Thank you.
Because that could have gone sideways.
Oh, my gosh. Watching the video, I was blown away just how much talent was in that room and that I was there among it. I mean, those singers were incredibly powerful.
Well, so were you.
Each. Thank you. Thank you.
And Beth is lovely, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, oh, she had a wonderful time. Yo, she was so excited, and I showed her the preview of the video.
Okay.
And she commented on you, and she just said, oh, my God, he just kept making me smile.
Oh, that's
His
sweet.
Every move was making me smile, and I agree. Oh. You know, it was infectious.
Oh, thank you.
And
music saved your life.
It did, unequivocally. So, you know, one of the things when I reflect back, I mean, I started playing the guitar when I was 9 years old. Prior to that, I was exposed to a lot of music through my cousin, through my dad.
Did you grow up around here?
I grew up in New Jersey, Northern New Jersey, East Rutherford, right outside of New York City, 10 miles out of New York City. So frequenting the city was not uncommon. You know, going to Central Park, going to shows, museums, all of that. My dad took me to see Kiss when I was 9 years old, 1977.
Wow. Can you still remember it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah?
It was incredible. I mean, it was life-changing. I just remember leaving that concert thinking, I want to play guitar, period. That's all I want. Electric, and I want an electric guitar.
I'm not laughing at you. I just thought of my own thing. The way I got turned on to guitar, I'm 4 years old. I'm going to a Catholic nursery school.
Okay.
In Rhinebeck.
Yes.
And Sister Mary Ellen walks out with an acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. And you know happiness is from your good man Charlie Brown. Happiness.
Oh, yeah.
There's two kinds of ways. She starts playing and singing. And my 4-year old brain goes, what the fuck is that? And how do I do it?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's that same thing. And it was just the excitement, the power of that electric guitar. Everything, the drums, the smoke, the noise, the screaming, you know, it was just all perfection for me.
That's beautiful.
You know, and so I came home and like I said, I said, I want an electric guitar.
So you learned on electric?
And so, no. So my brother had an acoustic guitar and he got it for Christmas like a year or two before that. Never played it. Sitting in the corner and my mother said, well, if you learn on the acoustic for 1 year, I'll buy you an electric.
Your mother was right.
So, yeah, but you know, I was a really like you know, set in stone 9 year old, like, but no, Ma, you don't understand. I want an electric guitar. This is what it must be. And she said, if you put in the time, then, you know, you'll get that. So she remained true to her word. I mean, a year later, yes, I got an electric guitar.
Which do you like better now?
It's interesting because it changes. It just changes. Right at the present moment, I've been playing a lot of acoustic mm-hmm. because I've been doing a lot of solo shows, but I also love playing electric. I mean, just the other day when I plugged in, I have a Gibson ES-335 1967 that was sold to me by a very good friend who passed. And right before he passed, he wanted that guitar in my hands as much as I wanted. You know, that guitar, not in that bittersweet way, but, you know, when I plugged that thing in and just hit an E chord, it was everything.
Shivers.
Yeah. It was everything. Yeah. I guess, you know, electric really is my true passion. Mm. But I love playing acoustic.
Right.
You know, so as I've been saying for years, because I do have a collection of guitars, as you can imagine, you know, we have this guitar acquisition syndrome.
How many do you have?
Oh, I think I have 18 now.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank
man.
You. But, you know, when you consider the you know, I've been playing over 40 years. Right. So, but at the same time, I mean, that's really where a lot of my money goes to: music, guitars, right. equipment.
There are worse you things know. Your money could go to.
Yeah. So that's the thing,
What's
you
the
know.
What's the percentage of electric to acoustic that you have in your collection?
Oh, I think I have four acoustics.
Okay.
I have this Gibson, an Alvarez, a Guild 12 string. I have an old K that a friend gave to mine,
okay.
gave to me.
The Guild 12 string.
Yeah.
Give me a tip. How the fuck do you keep that thing in tune?
Well, what I was told, because I did have to have the bridge replaced, was to tune it down a half step because it's way too much tension on the bridge.
Okay.
That's why it pulled up. So tune it down a half step and put a capo on the first fret.
Okay.
Getting That'll it to stay it. In tune, you know, I mean, it just depends on the guitar. Getting it in tune is
a
nightmare.
I have a Guild 12 string too.
It, oh, do you?
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. And every time I pick it up, I'm like, okay. I have a pool with myself and I make a bet. It's either going to be 10 minutes tuning it.
Oh, God.
Or
yeah.
15 minutes tuning
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And my trick, which I don't know if it works, my trick is don't worry about if it's in tune, or if it's in tune with itself.
Right.
That's,
yes.
You know,
that is
if you sit
the
there with a tuner
important.
And try to nail them all, it's not going to work. Just
yeah.
get it in tune with itself.
Exactly. You know, so yeah. And I mean, there are times like I play guitar with another band and. If there's a song that requires the 12 string, you know, while I'm rehearsing, I'm like, oh, God, am I going to bring this thing and play it live? And then I'm like, well, I had it set up for that. You know, I got a pickup
right.
put in it. And it's like, yeah, this is why I have it.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
you fight with yourself, though, because you know it's going to be.
It's a great sound, though, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
it's
That's
crystal
a whole orchestra.
Clear, beautiful.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, it's
yeah.
gorgeous. When it's tuned properly,
when you
gorgeous.
Come back. I'll bring my 12 string. You bring your 12 string.
Oh, yeah.
We'll figure out something together to do.
Oh, yeah. That
I would
be
love
cool.
to hear that. Okay, cool.
Well, that would be great. Wow.
All right.
So back to music saved my life,
yep.
you know. So so I started playing when I was 9, and I was pretty terrible at first. So to anyone
Everybody.
Out there, yeah, who's says that, oh, I tried, but, you know, it was really bad. I'll tell you, I mean, I was horrible. I'm not – people say to me, oh, you're such a natural. I was not a natural. I put in the time and the practice and
– Got you 10,000 hours and off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to do that. But one thing, and when I look back – so I started playing when I was 9 and about a year – let's see. So my dad was – they both of my parents were very supportive. My dad gave me one of the best tips ever is if you make a mistake, just keep going.
Yeah.
So I remember that to this day. I wish he would have been here to see all of this. But unfortunately, he passed away when I was 11.
Oh.
So it was pretty much within a year and a half of me learning how to, you know, start to play the guitar
right.
that he passed. So, you know,
what
I think
did,
about it.
Was it expected?
Heart attack. No. Massive heart attack. 40.
Oh.
You know.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was my first catapult into like reality
yeah.
of life and how quickly it can change.
Right.
So as you can imagine, you know, besides the fact that my parents had been separated at the time, we did see him all the time though. You know, he spent a lot of time with us, which was wonderful. But having music kind of as my solace, my solid ground and learning. When I reflect on that now, I think, God, what a great thing that I had, you know, because I don't know what else I would have done or where I would have put my emotions.
Right.
Could you know,
pick a very different,
yeah,
destructive path.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, so that was the first catapult into, you know, reality, you know, which no kid wants,
right,
you know. And then, you know, so then still playing and playing and my mother encouraging me and,
good,
you know, even to the point where one day we were at a friend's house. I had brought my, you know, my little Sears amp and my Sears electric guitar. And she says, you know, turn it up. You know, we can't hear it. And I said, well, this is as loud as it goes. And she said, well, we're going to have to get you a bigger amp.
There we go.
So, boom, we went out. We got the Fender Vibralux Reverb amp I have till today.
Same one.
Yeah, same one.
Beautiful.
It's also from 1967. And, you know, back then I was 13 years old and I had no idea what a classic and what an awesome amp that was. I mean, I knew it was a Fender, so I was already like, yes.
You're going to be okay.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, if that's what you want to buy me, absolutely. And she didn't really know either. She just knew Fender was a good brand.
Have you heard, have you, in the last 10 years, have you heard an amp that you think, oh, that's better than my Fender?
No.
No,
honestly.
So many people say that. I don't play electric guitar, so I don't know this language.
But okay.
So many guitar players that I talk to,
yeah,
say you have to have like a 40-year-old amp.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of great amps out now. But honestly, I don't know if there would be anything that would replace this.
Right.
You know, and I'm always looking at different amps, always equipment, amps, whatever. And then I say to myself, do I really need another amp? I mean, I do have three amps. They're all Fenders.
Mm-hmm.
A smaller Vibrachamp, which is kind of like a practice amp or just to kick it around at somebody's house and, you know,
right,
jam out. And then a bigger Fender Dual Professional, which is extremely heavy. And I never want to take it anywhere.
Right.
So, but it sounds amazing. But nothing sounds like the Vibralux Reverb. Nothing. I mean, in my opinion.
Right, right.
You know.
When you record, do you record with it?
Actually, recording this EP, I did not. Because the setup was so much different than I...
Right into the board and...
Right into the board.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my producer, Barb Morrison, was so amazing with getting sounds and tones that work for me, that I really didn't feel like I missed it.
Right. Okay, great.
You know, and honestly, going into the studio, I trusted my producer so much that whatever they told me to do, that's what I was going to do.
That's a real gift, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know what? I show up with my passion, my songs, you know, and just to be present, and then I allow Barb to do their job.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You met Eric Dalton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's amazing.
He produces me.
Yeah.
And so I don't necessarily love the sound of my own voice. Do you like the sound of your own voice?
No.
Okay. And you can relate. I said, wanted to lift the project. I got to cut a demo of the song.
Yes.
So that everybody can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured it's just me singing a song on a guitar. And he's like, no. We took 2 hours. And he kept layering my voice.
Oh, yes.
If you don't like the sound of your voice, a choir of your voice is trauma.
And he kept
making me do it. It was horrible.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for me, vocally, that was my biggest hurdle. And it has been since, you know, 40 years ago. I'm not a born singer.
Right.
But I do have a message to get across. So between, you know, when I was 10 years old, when I was told by one of those nuns. Yes, I went to Catholic school too.
Oh, there we
13
go.
Years.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, add that to the trauma list. seriously, I mean, I...
Was it rough?
It was rough in the sense that, they didn't appreciate, you know, my humor, for
okay.
one.
All right.
You know, I was Catholic. Definitely outspoken, boisterous. I loved rock and roll, like, beyond like,
right.
beyond love, obsessed. You know, a little girl playing electric guitar, listening to Kiss is not their ideal student, you know.
Kiss probably doesn't fly in a Catholic
school. It just doesn't. Yeah. Nothing. It just didn't seem like a lot that I was into
right.
flew.
Okay.
You know, I was the girl with the boombox, blasting Joan Jett.
So you were a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh, they didn't, you know, there was a nun actually that had, I started a guitar club with her in seventh grade.
Oh, cool.
Because I was trying to do anything I could to get the music
right.
in, you know, because what else was there, you know?
Right.
I mean, the strictness of the regimented, you know, the all the church stuff and
yeah.
it just, I don't know. It
I wish this was TV. You should have seen your face just then.
It was just a lot, you know. Right. I feel like I've gone to church enough for a lifetime.
You probably have.
Yeah,
you
I think I have.
Yeah.
You know, I think I gleaned what I needed to from it. And it's like, let's...
I think there are people that need... That church is very, very helpful for.
Yes.
And I mistook myself for one of those people for a long time.
Okay.
And I just left my last church like 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
And now I realize like, oh, wait, I was like you. I'm done.
Right.
It did what it was supposed to do.
Exactly. And I knew something was wrong when I was somewhere around 8 years old. And, you know, you're really into it at that age. It's like you're into it. You're getting the sacraments and, you know, learning about how to be close to God. And all this seems so grand. And then I'm like, you know, in my head, ooh, maybe I want to be a priest, you know? Well,
turns
out you can imagine that question. Hey, I'd like to be a priest. Well, yeah, that went over just as much as, you know, right. blasting I Love Rock and Roll during Mass in the school parking lot. Mm. Yeah, so they were like, well, no, you can't be a priest, yeah. but you can be a nun. And it's like, why would I want to do that? You
right.
know, type of,
right.
no offense to nuns, you know, they're very devout and so forth, but it's such a subservient position.
Right. right.
You know, so I knew there was something wrong at an early age that like, well, why can't women take the highest position here?
Right.
But it just wasn't happening and it's still not happening and it's never going to happen. So for anybody who thinks the church is changing, it's not.
Mm.
It's not changing.
Yeah. So
they have a doctrine. They're upholding it.
Right.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to sound a little, you know, disillusioning for
no.
people who feel like it's, you know.
Good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. Good night, Mom.
I want to suck your blood.
Me too, darling. Save some for me. Ah, Mom!
Sweetie, what's wrong?
There are monsters in my bed.
Oh, don't be silly. Let's take a look.
Ah!
When garlic just won't cut it, call Waverly Pest Control, your local bed bug vampire hunters.
Hi, this is Mike Robinson. If you're losing sleep over these blood-sucking bed bug vampires, maybe it's time to give me a call at Waverly Pest Control. 845-297-6700 or check us out on the web at waverlypc.com and like us on Facebook and wave goodbye to pests.
We do it best. We goodbye to pests. Oh, Waverly Pest Control. When you want to wave goodbye.
Now changing,
right?
You know, we're talking about 2,000 plus years of,
yeah.
you know, Vatican rule and dogma. Yeah, it's all that Vatican rule,
right?
So I wish it could change, but
yeah. Well, there's other. There's other faiths if you wanted to explore.
Absolutely,
that.
No, and that's those. I you know, I really. Think it, like you said, it's good for
a
lot of
people.
Yeah. It is.
We are way too long without
all right,
a song. Can
let's,
you play?
Let's do a song.
Okay, what are we going to
do? So the first song I'm going to play is the opening track from my EP, Loners, Misfits, and Rebels. And so when I was writing the EP and I decided I want to do this because I had, I'd been playing as a side guitar player with other bands for the past 20 plus years. And that was coming off of having my own band back in like the 90s and early 2000s. And anyway, so it had been a long time. And I finally said, you know, I have a lot of great music I've been writing. Want to continue writing and record. So who is my audience? And without getting into, I don't go for like age groups, you know, men, women, this. I go for like people. It doesn't matter what age you are. So It's for the Loners, Misfits, and Rebels. Those are my people. That's who I am, and that's who I relate to, you know? So.
What's your process for writing?
Really, it's usually lyrics first.
Okay.
I come up with an idea. Something will pop into my head. Could be anything. But on this particular day, it was Loners, Misfits, and Rebels. Like, those are my people. So then I just take that phrase and I go from there.
And handwrite or type?
Usually handwrite. Sometimes what I try to do.
Were you at the Catholic school? I bet you have great handwriting.
I have pretty decent handwriting.
Yeah.
See, yes.
There's
one
good takeaway.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I mostly handwrite it. Sometimes I scroll it on. scroll it on a piece of paper, like as I'm driving, like it'll be like next to me or whatever, just a phrase. You know, I'm not writing a whole book.
Do you use your phone at all to do?
I do. I have been using the voice to text on the notes.
Okay.
But sometimes it comes out with, you know, crazy stuff that you didn't even say.
Right.
So that is confusing down the line. The other thing I try to do is write the song in my head, each line, and keep repeating it and not put one thing to paper until I'm pretty much done or till I have that thought made out, because sometimes it changes as soon as you start writing down.
Right.
You know, so I try to keep that thought going.
That's a cool discipline.
Yeah, it's...
I can't do it, but it's a very cool
discipline. Yeah, I'm really trying to do it. So this is Loners, Misfits, and Rebels, and this sets the tone for really, in my opinion, like everything I'm about. So here it is. This is for the loners, the misfits, and the rebels. The ones who had to start again and put their lives back together. This is for the heartache and the big mistakes you made. This is for the turnaround from all the games you played. The loners, the misfits, and the rebels, walking through the storms, beat down and weathered. This is for the suffering and all the tears you cried. The time has come to shed your skin, leave the pain behind. Time. For the loners, the misfits, and the rebels, walking to a different drum. You got wings, you don't need feathers. This is for the leap of faith in a world unknown. The time has come to spread your wings, the best is yet to come. Might heal the pain. who go to sleep at night. In your heart believing everything will be alright. This is for the misfits, invisible as a ghost. I can see you, and I believe in you the most. This is for the rebels, the truth is always worth the fight. Wade through the darkness until you find the light.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you very much.
That's really great.
Thank you.
Do you, music business sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Do you have any idea how to fix it?
I don't. I have no idea how to fix it. I will tell everyone out there, you know, when you listen to a song on Spotify, you're enjoying it, but the artist is not being enabled to record or to continue what they're doing. I do think it's a good thing in the sense that when people don't have the ample means to, you know, go out and buy every single album, CD, whatever, that they can still, you know, listen to the music. So that's why I have it on Spotify, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I am, of course, who wouldn't want a windfall of cash so they can do whatever they want? Right. Everybody would. But the truth is, for me to get the music out there and to get the message out there is really what matters. So I would say, support an artist that you like in any way you can, even if it's buying a CD, downloading it, gifting the download to someone else, you know, buying the T-shirt, sticker, whatever you can do.
Right.
But I don't know how to fix the music industry.
Even the mechanics are playing out.
Oh, gosh. It really, a lot of places, you know, it's all about community and all of that. But a lot of times you don't feel like you're getting all the support from that same community, you know. I mean, but it's always been a struggle to book because you have a lot of competition, especially in the Northeast. You know, a lot of people vying for very few positions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of it could be about who you know. I'm not sure. I just know I do whatever I can do to continue to move forward.
Right.
You know, and where one door closes, another one opens. I mean, all of that is true. And tenacity and resilience are your best friend when you're trying to get yourself out there. And no one is going to do it but you.
Right.
You know, if you look at my website, carolynmorosi.com.
Spell
Carolynmarosy. So, you know, go to my website. Everything on there, all the radio shows, any of the shows, and so forth, I've put in all the legwork to do. I don't have a PR person. I don't have management. I don't have any of that. Mm-hmm. It's all about, you know, me getting out there, meeting people, reaching out to people, and, you know, seeing who likes it. And apparently I've had a lot of great feedback, so I'm really grateful for that.
Right. I've said this before, so listener, if you want to just go do something for 2 minutes and come back. The Hudson Valley has such a concentration mm-hmm. of musical talent.
Oh, yes.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a geographic anomaly how many talented musicians are in one area, right?
Yes.
Why doesn't somebody come up here and start a management company?
Yeah.
You could sign 45 world-class musicians in 45 days.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand why it doesn't happen.
Right.
It boggles my mind. And someday some manager agent listening to Home From Here is going to go, we're picking up the kids.
That's true.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are a few big managers up here, but, you know, they're not going to look at you and me because they're busy, you know, on the top echelon
right.
of artists. So
right.
So where is that person coming in who's going to, you know, champion?
Yeah, but if somebody like you would be top tier, in terms of draw. I think in
Thank
terms
you.
Of talent and composition, you're,
Thank
you're
you.
Home already.
I appreciate
you're just
that.
Not top tier in terms of draw because the management's not looking at you.
Right.
So,
you know, and it's what, you know.
So some managers yeah. come in and realize that the Hudson Valley is low-hanging fruit.
Yes.
It's all top tier yeah. musicians. It's low-hanging fruit. Just got to shine a little light. So.
That is very true. Yeah. And that's why a show like this is very much appreciated, especially in the combination of music, mental health, you know, healing.
Right.
These are all things, in my opinion, that are intertwined very much in my music.
Do you suffer mental health?
You know, it's interesting because I've never gone to traditional therapy.
Okay.
Okay. Why I don't, I'm just stubborn headed. I don't know. And who knows, I'm not closed off to it.
Mm-hmm.
I have found music as my therapy, and it has probably taken me 10 times longer to figure myself out in that manner. Right. I will say that I probably could have covered a lot more ground a lot more quickly with a therapist. So anybody out there, I would say, you know, don't, if you really need it, don't continue to blow it off and say, oh, well, she did it. And, you know, because there were, I'm sure, at least a decade I lost, you know, trying to figure this stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the years in, let's say, my 20s where I was a lot more self-destructive versus healing and growing.
Right.
You know,
How
and
are
I
you self-destructive.
You know, the drinking,
right.
the partying.
Right.
Now, I still had a full-time, you know, I still graduated high school, had a band, had a full-time job, a relationship, everything, you know, that sort of appears like, wow, this is a high-functioning person.
That's a lot of boxes checked.
But I also threw a lot of my emotional, I don't want to call it baggage because it's not baggage. It's loss. A lot of my feelings of loss, you know, in bad, you know, I made bad choices with the drinking and
right.
it's like a, you know, you do these things to forget. You want to have fun, you know, you want to party.
What years were when you were in your 20s? 90s?
Yeah, 90s. Yeah, so I always say the 90s were a bit of a blur, and I see
that's
where
it's a good time to make mistakes though. 90s could be fun.
You know, it's let's put it this way, you know, it's coming off the 80s. So in the 80s, I was a teenager, and like
a good time to be a teenager.
Yeah, it was a great time to be a teenager in a lot of ways because yes, we got away with a lot more.
Right.
But it was also like, oh, it was normal to be 16, 17, 18 drinking every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, you know, when I look back, it's like, well, was that? It was normal for the time.
Right.
But it's not really normal. I wouldn't want to see my friends' kids. I wouldn't want to see them doing what we did.
Right.
You know, I really wouldn't because it's I mean, in all of this in hindsight, you know, and I came out of it okay and, right. and everything. And thank God. I can't tell you the amount of times I just thank God I am still here to do what I do. And I will just sit there, you know, I could be sitting anywhere at work and just say, I'm so grateful to be here, you know, because I know what I went through. You know, 7 years after my dad passed, 6 years after he passed, our mother got cancer.
Oh.
So, yeah, I have a brother and sister. And, you know, so I was 17. And so now here comes, you know, trauma number two, big time, because now I'm watching her decline very rapidly in 6 months, 6 months and pass away.
Oh,
you know,
cancer,
lung. Yeah. So,
I can do this math. 9 and 7 is 6. So you're 16, 17.
So 17. So she passed 17. When I was 18.
Okay.
Okay.
So 18 and parentless.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, at that point, And I did read that I can curse as much as I want on this. So I will say at that point I was absolutely fuck the world.
Yeah.
Fuck it all.
Yep.
Just fuck it.
Makes sense.
But again, at the same time, with my sense of responsibility and respect that I had for my parents, my mother wanted me to finish college. I was in my first semester. at William Patterson. And, you know, I could have just quit. I wanted to just, because I just wanted to do music.
Right.
So I could have just quit. But I said, you know what? For whatever reason, she wanted me to get my degree. So here I was. And I will say, I think I was in a state of depression, but I didn't realize it at the time.
Right.
Because, I mean, my mother being a nurse, she was the director of nursing. You can imagine all the medical health professionals that came to us after she passed and said, you know, there's therapy out there. There's grief there, you know.
Right.
And basically it was like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck you. And I'm sorry to those people because I wish I had taken them up on that. Mm. In fact, there's a beautiful organization called Comfort Zone Camp.
Okay.
So look it up. Anybody out there who, you know, has children who lost either a parent or a sibling. Mm. That's what these camps are for. Children who've lost a parent or sibling. Comfort Zone Camp. And I volunteered there for a weekend. And I mean, it was just so beautiful the way they bring all these children together. Because I think.
You know what you should do?
What?
You should play there.
Yeah, I did want to bring my guitar, but I did bring my guitar, but it turned out like when I was there, I just said, I'm there for whatever they need me for.
Right.
You know, so I did what they needed. They didn't need music at the time, but yeah, I want to reach back out because it is something that.
And to tell your story too.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, it's so important to see people who have overcome something. Just so you know that it can be overcome.
Yes. And this is part of the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing now.
Right.
Because I am a living example of you can get past the black cloud. You can get past the worst feelings in the world of feeling lonely, the anger, the resentment. You can get past that. Mm-hmm. You know, and Bruce Springsteen is one of my big influences. And, you know, during Born to Run.
I was
going to
say, when you were playing that, I could tell you're a Springsteen fan.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Definitely influenced.
You've seen Springsteen on Broadway?
Yes, I did. It was phenomenal.
That's unholy.
Oh, yeah.
How you can hold a room with just a guitar for 2.5 hours is.
Yes.
I actually, after I saw that, I wrote a one-man show because I'm like, I have to do that.
Right? Yeah. Like, don't think that I haven't already, you know, started putting songs in my head and, you know, songs that I had written. And, oh, maybe this could tell the story. You know, and that's all to come down the line because I have been in the process of writing a memoir for years. Mm. It is, as they say, huge undertaking because I have all these stories. Now it's like putting them together. That is the hardest part of putting everything, you know, and I'm still writing them. So right. that's still, but it's coming. I mean, that's definitely coming down the line. For now, you know, right now it's about the music and getting that out there. But I do want the memoir to happen too, because there are just a lot of stories behind everything I'm telling you today. So, you know, so that when my mom passed, you know, that was, I mean, I can't even describe to you what a loss it was. You know, thank God we had my grandparents, my mother's mother really, really took over. But she was a totally different person than my mother. Right. You know, she laid down the law, whereas my mother wanted us to thrive in whatever we loved.
Right.
I mean, she had two wishes for us, and that was to be happy and for the three of us, my brother, sister, and I, to stick together. Which we have done.
That's noble.
You know,
that's
so great. Those are, you know, I mean, and those are such simple asks.
And that's a hard time to have that happen, too, because at 18, your grandmother can say things, but you're old enough that you can say, fuck off.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a grown-up now.
Exactly.
So it's the worst time to have that.
It really is, you know. And I remember right before I turned 18, this was before my mom got sick. It was probably like, I guess, early spring or something, because my birthday's in August. And, I said, well, you know, Ma, I'm going to be an adult. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm going to be 18. And she just started laughing, which, of course, I was, you know, really insulted. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm going to be an adult, you know. And, she, oh, you know, if you only knew what that meant and so forth. And, You know, and now I look back, I know why she was laughing.
Yeah.
You know, so it is, you know, for anybody who is thinking about giving up, and I have thought about that numerous times. So when you get back to like, have I had mental health issues? I'm sure, undiagnosed. But yeah, and I have thought about that. I had thought about that, not current times.
What was the process of deciding not to write?
It was just simply, you know, I can't do this to my brother and sister and, you know, the rest of the family and, you know, just can't. I my thought was always hang in there one more day. Today could be your worst day. Tomorrow could be your best day. Mm-hmm. You know, so in that sense, you know, I got that positivity from my mother because she faced a lot of challenges in her life. I mean, between, you know, being separated, trying to reconcile with my dad, having him pass away, and then always being judged in a sense by her parents, and then at all her work at the hospital. I mean, she had a lot on her plate, and raising three children.
Right.
A lot on her plate. Always did it with a smile, always very positive about everything. You know, like everything was going to be okay. Type of thing.
Right.
Even when clearly it wasn't, you know, and it's like, how is she going to do this? How is she going to do that? You know, I want an electric guitar. I want an amp. I want to go to London. I want, you know.
When you're in the shit and you're thinking, one more day, do you compare yourself to mother and that only makes it suck harder because?
No. I draw so much strength from what they left for me and what they did for me in those foundational years. You know, that actually I'm grateful I had them as parents, even though it was for such a short time. It was a very concentrated time of love and, you know, opening the world to us because that's what they did.
Right.
You know, my father had the most open mind. I mean, you could be going to jazz vespers one Sunday, then I don't know, going to Central Park or the, you know, museums in the city, or he was learning Spanish in the 70s. He was a cop. So he had a little thing tucked in his jacket with the translation if he pulled over someone who spoke Spanish and he was learning how to speak Spanish. So the idea of having an open mind, accepting everyone culturally and, you know, just learning about all these different things as a child now reads to me as so huge.
Sure.
You know, that the older I get, I have determined, you know, they always say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And most people who, as they get older, they get very closed-minded. My goal right now is to just stay open-minded and to be more open-minded than I've ever been, to say yes to different things, to look at a menu and be like, I've never had that. I'm going to order that. You know, just to stay open-minded.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I hope more people catch your disease because that's good.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't want to end up like miserable, like get off my lawn, you know.
Right. Did you ever cancer has timing. I'm almost convinced of it. So my wife had cancer.
Yes.
And her head and neck cancer and she couldn't eat.
Oh.
For a year and a half before, she put on 50 extra pounds. She'd never been overweight in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know. She went to the doctor. She's like, what's going on?
Right.
And she put on 50 pounds. Well, it turns out she needed the 50 pounds for the treatment.
Right.
And it brought her right back down to her normal weight.
Wow.
And I think cancer has timing. There's a vibe there because your mom waited till you were 18.
Yeah.
Right? Like...
My mom was a highly educated nurse. So she had her bachelor's and her master's. I'm sure she would have gotten her PhD because that's just the person she was. I kind of think also, because my sister was only 16, so it's like, you know.
All
right.
Bad theory.
Yeah, but, you know. Part of me thinks that as optimistic as of a person she was, that she knew how devastating cancer was because of her formal training. And so I always wonder if that wasn't a deterrent in a healing. I don't know. But then again, you know, listen, right. she was also misdiagnosed 6 months before she was properly diagnosed.
That's not true.
So she had 6 months of cancer growth before she was, right. you know, before a second doctor said, oh, no, you are sick and you've been sick since December, not June.
Right.
So, you know, so there was that. So the whole thing was a mess. But to go back to your question, I came up with this saying, motto, whatever you want to call it. And it was, just remember you've got the wings of 1,000 angels around you. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's what would give me comfort, you know, when I was in these like really dark times. And I would think about all of, you know, my mom and dad, first and foremost, and then everyone else, all my ancestors, my grandparents who are up there and, you know, in heaven or in whatever's up there. And all the ancestors going on, friends and just around me going, one more day, one more day.
Yeah.
And so that was my, you know,
that shit is
motto.
Real, by the way. The angels?
Yeah. Oh, angels exist 100%. And I've had a few instances in my life where I have absolutely felt my parents' presence to the point of, like, brought me to tears. Like, just, there were a couple of times, and when you feel it, you know it.
Mm.
You know, and it really, it's a lovely thing when people say like, oh, I saw a cardinal today or,
right.
you know, something that they feel represents a spirit because spirits are present. But if you have ever had a feeling that will absolutely hit you in your core and make you cry for almost no reason,
mm-hmm.
that is the spirit or a spirit.
Yep.
I mean, and I've had that happen. So...
Do you know who Shayna Moore is? There's no reason why you would. She's a medium.
Okay.
I had her on the show.
Okay.
And I was skeptical.
Yeah.
She could tell I was skeptical. She's a wonderful lady. So and her energy is she contacts people who have passed on.
Yeah.
And communicates what they're trying to say to her client.
Right.
So she's like, tell you what, come to my house and do a session with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell me what you think.
Right.
So I go to her house and I do a session. And I was pretty blown away, but I'm still skeptical. But I was pretty blown away. Mm-hmm. But I'm still like, okay, the internet's a big thing. You could probably piece together 60% of the stuff she was telling me.
Right.
But 40%, I was like, okay, that's pretty impressive. So then we finish. And she goes, my daughter's name is Gramercy.
Okay.
And... Gramercy was planning, she's going to be senior next year. She's planning a trip to some island. I don't even know. And I was sketchy about that because I looked up the company and it's unsupervised and I had like a bunch of feelings about it. And I'm like, I don't know if you're doing this or not.
Right.
No, you know, no chaperones.
Oh,
know,
gosh.
High school seniors, right? So it's Bahamas. It's just the Bahamas. So I was stressed about it. But it was just me and Gramercy and Trish that were talking about it. And I didn't post about it. I didn't anything about it. I didn't blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So I'm walking out the door and she goes, Grant, I'm like, Gramercy? She goes, yeah. She goes, Bahamas? I go, yeah. She goes, don't worry about it. She's going to be fine.
Wow.
Right?
And I'm
like, now I believe everything that you said. So that's why I said that. You know, I don't know what the dimensional relationship is, but there is people who have passed contacting you and
sitting on your
head and
there's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
No,
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. You know, so I mean a couple stories for the book, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because I had an encounter with Pete Townsend, long story short, he's my absolute favorite.
Really?
Yeah. And my mom knew that. Yeah, Pete from The Who. And I've met him several times, but on this one particular encounter, there was just something so poignant about it it happened the day before the 10th anniversary that my mom passed. And that next day, I woke up, and John, when I tell you, it felt like a black cloud was lifted off my head. I felt so light that day. It was
That's
absolutely incredible. And that was the first turning point of... of my healing.
Right.
You know, and yeah, so that's it's amazing. Like I have Pete to thank for that, but I know that there was some sort of divine intervention there.
Right.
There's
right.
no doubt in my mind. You know.
Do another song?
Yeah. So the Beautiful. Song I'm going to do now is
off the same album.
Thousand Angels. It's off of Loners.
Oh my God.
Misfits and Rebels. Yes. Yes. And I do have a video on YouTube. Again, go to my website. And I'm also going to be performing at Rock the Casbah in Saugerties, New York on June 30.
Okay. What time?
At 3 p.m. It's a Sunday afternoon.
Perfect time.
So Rock the Casbah, Saugerties, June 30th. And I'll also be down in Asbury Park, New Jersey on June 1st at the Wonder Bar, opening for Christine Martucci and the Band of Love.
Wonderful.
And then I'll also play with them.
And these, just to remind people, this is on your website as well?
Correct. Yes, okay. It is. So go to carolynmorosi.com. And here's Thousand Angels.
Lost them both when she was young. Thinks about them when the day is done. Don't know what day it is or where she's been. Cries in the morning, cries at night. Tries to keep her head on right, but she can't anyway. Prays to God for another day. On a cage filled with rage, filled with loss, filled with shame. Nobody out there to feel the pain. When you feel like no one's ever found you, little big town, too big, too small. Carrying a weight that's 10 foot tall. Wants to put it down, but she can't let go. Wants to die, wants to scream. Wants to live and wants to dream. Still nobody out there to ease the pain. When you feel like no. Just remember you got wings of a thousand angels. And you feel like there's no one there to ground you. Just remember you got wings of a thousand angels. Inside, heal the heart you cannot hide. Let it go, feel your spirit fly. Break that cage, turn the page. Let the light consume your rage. Feel the power, release your pain. And you feel like no one's ever found you. Just remember you got wings of a thousand angels. And you feel like there's no one there to ground you. Just remember you got wings of a thousand angels. Angels around you. Around you. And you feel like no one's ever.
of a thousand angels, and you feel like there's no one there to ground you. Just remember you got wings of a thousand angels around you. Thank you.
Really
thank
good.
You.
That song, I don't know why I said song. That song is structured really well.
Thank you.
Really well.
Thank you.
It's a little anthem-y in there. A little.
Yeah, I mean, and on the EP, it is big.
Big. That's where I first heard it.
Yeah, when I first brought these songs to Barb Morrison, now Barb's a person I've known for over 20 years easily. Since the early days when I had my band Raw, which was a three-piece punk, bluesy rock.
Right.
And Barb always loved my music, believed in me. And so when I was going to make this EP, that's who I called.
Right.
Now, over the years, Barb has produced quite a few awesome artists, LP, Blondie, numerous others, and made quite a name for themselves. So to have this person, you know, say, absolutely, I've always believed in your music and you, and I want to do this, and I want to do you justice because you deserve this.
That's validating. Right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's why I say I put all my faith into my producer. And actually, I'm going to be going back into the studio with Barb in July to record a song I wrote that's sort of a non-traditional Christmas song, but it has a Christmas theme.
Right.
So I want to get it out before Christmas. Yeah, and it's a song about hope. When
we're doing a Christmas special, come play it.
Are you? Oh,
yeah.
Definitely. You let me know when.
Yeah,
I will. Yeah. I would love to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a different type of Christmas
cool.
song.
That's,
yeah.
That's cool. Every year I do like a Christmas special. Last
oh, I would love to do that.
2 years ago I did her name is Lesya Verba. She's Ukrainian.
Oh, wow.
And
nice.
She's like Ukrainian's Taylor Swift. She's
wow.
So she called in and did that.
I love
that.
It.
Yeah. So
is she here or is she?
She's here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. She got out.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
That's just so bizarre. I mean, bizarre situation.
Man. Oh, it is. You know, I mean, I don't believe in war at all. You know, it's horrible what's going on. And especially in 2023 when that war started, right? Was it 23 or
22?
Was it two?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in 2022 for another country to just invade a country and say, you know, oh, yeah, this is ours.
Right.
You know, yeah.
It's bizarre.
I mean, so I'll just say I am very much a peace advocate. Yeah, but for what I try to do with my music is empower people who have been made to feel less than, because I know what that's like. You know, at school, yeah, I had friends and everything, but I still felt like a misfit because of the authorities there.
Right.
You know, when I came home, I was a bit of a loner because I was alone with my music. I was alone with my thoughts and my emotions. You know, I hid that stuff.
Right.
You know, we tend to hide these things that are so deep and so cutting within ourselves, but we are not going to heal them until we can A, feel them and get them out.
Right.
You know, and that's something that I've learned. And even now, yeah, that's what it does for me. So, you know, I am hoping in some way, and I know that I have had people come up to me, you know, talking about my songs and what they've done for them. You know, my main goal is to help people heal. I mean, you know, because that's what music did for me.
Right, right.
And really, we should all be helping one another in any way possible.
And it's a tricky dynamic. I'm thinking about your walk, and I'm thinking it's a tricky dynamic, too, because the idea behind school uniforms is that there is no everybody's
the same. It's conformity.
Right. But the strategy behind it is there will be no misfits because you're all in the same thing.
I guess.
I looked into this.
Oh, okay.
And that's the argument for it.
Yeah.
It takes away class. It takes away. It's all conforming. And the other hard part about going to a Catholic school, I would imagine, is you any problem gets directed right away to religion.
Yeah.
Which
true.
Right? So and now you're sitting there with two things that are you being pounded into your head will solve your problem.
Right.
And they're not.
No, they're not solving the problem because, you know, even the fact that, you know, having parents that are separated, even though we as their children had a great relationship with our parents and we didn't see them fight and that type of trauma wasn't present, but there was still this feeling of like, well, everybody else's parents are together and the church is telling us that, you know, oh, this is not right. People are, you know, you're never married, supposed to get separated or divorced.
Right.
You know, so that left me feeling a little bit on the outs too.
Right.
You know, plus we were like the only kids on our block going to Catholic school. So, you know, now that's another odd thing. And then,
your misfit thing might be justified.
Let me tell you. And then, John, throw this into the mix. So when I was like 16, all girls Catholic high school, outside of school, I'd meet my first girlfriend.
And now you got to deal with
that. So now I'm like, okay.
Man.
Another thing that, A, I'm not talking to anybody about.
Right.
So, I mean, that's like a ton of bricks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you're trying to climb out on your own. You
did an amazing job of, so my daughter was going through a problem. I have a hard time even remembering what the problem is. Not that I wouldn't say it, I just can't remember it.
Right.
But she's going through I think it was like a friend group breaking up or something. She's like 11 or something.
Yeah.
And I said to her, there are going to be times in your life where you don't fit the world, and that's when you have to make the world fit you.
Mm-hmm.
You did a great job of that. In all those incidents where you're not fitting the world, you just flipped it around and said, okay, then the world must fit me. I will make a world where I fit.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what other choices.
You're actually happier there.
I am 100% happy. I am that person that, you know, it's like, if there's something I want to do, concert, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'll go do it alone. You know, when I first met my wife, before we even got together, just we had a mutual friend. That's how we met. But years before we even got together, she said, I remember meeting you at a concert. You were alone. And I remember being introduced to you and thinking, how cool. She went to a concert on her own.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm not letting anything stop me from enjoying life. Right. Number one. And that's what, you know, life is for. It's for all of us. And sometimes we're meant to enjoy these great times with people. And sometimes they are truly meant for us.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I could come home from work and watch an Umphrey's McGee couch tour. And if no one wants to come over, I'm still having a party.
Right.
You know, I'm going to have fun. But it takes a lot of determination to understand that. Even, you know, if you don't have your tribe now, that will come.
Mm-hmm.
Keep working on you. You know, do what makes you happy.
And that will create an energy that will attract.
It really will, you know. And it's great for me getting out there now with these songs because when I do get feedback from people who are listening and they tell me, like, I listened to Thousand Angels and I was in tears the whole time thinking about whatever their situation is, you know, I'm hoping that those tears will help heal them.
Right.
You know?
The album is
Loners, Misfits, and Rebels.
I can get it on Spotify, but I can also buy a CD.
You can buy a CD. Where? Yes, I printed CDs. You can purchase it on my website, which is CarolynMorosi.com. Carolyn. CarolynMarosy.com.
And the two gigs coming up are?
June 1st, Wonder Bar, Asbury Park. It's the 15th annual Pride show that Christine Martucci throws. I play in Christine's band, which is called the Band of Love. So they're headlining, Christine Martucci and the Band of Love, and then I am opening, playing solo before them, and Redbird Flying Solo is playing before me. So the night should start around 8 p.m. And then on Sunday, June 30th, at Rock the Casbah in Saugerties, I'm going to do a solo show. I haven't decided if I'm going to do one set or two. Depends on how the flow goes, but I'll be telling stories, playing songs, mostly originals, some covers, some that you probably never heard of, because I pretty much only play obscure covers, which my wife hates, but it's just what it is. Don't invite me to a campfire. I don't know any of right. those songs. I don't know Brown Eyed Girls. Don't make requests. I probably don't know it.
I forgot who said it. I had somebody in here and they said we take requests. And I go, how do you know that many songs? She goes, no, I take a request. I just don't play it.
Yeah, exactly. right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, the only request I have taken once was Freebird. I don't think I'll be doing that again, but that was a special dedication.
Well, thank you for coming in here.
Thank you for having me, John.
Congratulations on the album.
Thank you.
And we're about halfway through, so we have to do a second one. So I'll probably wind up writing you this afternoon.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm down for it. Right, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I'm John, and that was Home From Here. Perfect. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Good? A lot of fun. Yeah. Really good. Oh, yeah. Okay, oh, good. Yeah. Great. Good. Great.
Let me go shut us down.
No, that was great, John. No, and I felt so good playing.